Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today we have on the show a dear friend and amazing trainer out in Hollywood, Miss Valerie Waters. I have known Valerie now for, we met on Twitter, I think back in 2008, but she has been training and sculpting bodies in Hollywood, some of the best, for over 20 years. And just a few people, do some Googling on her. You'll see she's trained both men and women in Hollywood. Just to mention a few, Jennifer Garner, I think she's been training her for over 15 years. Cindy Crawford, Poppy Montgomery, Sasha Alexander, Rachel Nichols, and many more. Her talents, I just can't say enough about this woman, and she's far too modest for her own good. She trains celebrities, but she also has some outstanding programs that we'll talk about on her website that I've used over the years, and they've kicked my butt, quite frankly. And she has some equipment that I bring with me whenever I travel. If you've been following me on social media, you've heard me rave about her equipment, her programs, and Valerie. She's one of the most humble, amazing trainers out there who really knows her stuff. And I think you're going to pick up a lot of great tips, especially now at the beginning of 2017 as you start your fitness journey. So tune in and learn from Valerie Waters. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I'm joined today by Valerie Waters. Valerie, welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
I am so ready, Kelly. I'm so excited to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here. And you know, you and I go way back. I still remember when we first met on the Twitter. But for those folks that are just tuning in and just finding out about your fabulous self, and they will be completely hooked with you by the end of the show, I know. Tell people, especially for folks, you know, that are personal trainers, that are, in your case, very well-known celebrity fitness trainers. Sometimes it can be intimidating when you know, your average Joe is listening to the advice from someone like this. So I always like to ask, how and when did you first start getting interested in a fitness lifestyle and why?
You know, it started in high school. You know, I was shy. I'm still shy, but I was very shy growing up. And I found my salvation in sports. I ran track. From track, they walked us into the weight room. And from the very first moment I lifted weights, I loved it. I loved that feeling of it. And as I wanted to train to be better in track, I found that exercise, any kind of exercise, was a way to relieve stress. And, you know, at that time, it was like just teenage angst, like the boy didn't call me back or, you know, wasn't picked for the group or whatever. But I could go for a run or I could go lift weights and I could leave it there. And that later became my motto, you're one workout away from a good mood. And so I had, at a very early age, learned that not only does exercise make your body look better and your health better, but it makes you feel better. And so when I got a little older and I didn't really know what I was going to do and I was bouncing from job to job, I ended up working for a gym, selling memberships, just so I could have a free membership because I didn't have any money at the time and I was trying to put myself through school. And they asked that when you sell memberships, it was commission only, and I was terrible at sales, so I never made any money. Long story short, I quit and came back to the same job four times. I quit because I didn't get paid, but I'd come back because I was drawn to the gym. And so the fourth time that I came back to them, I said, you know, I'll still sell memberships, but let me do something else so I know I get a paycheck. You know, I'll fold towels, I'll answer the phone. They're like, well, Valerie, you know, we started this training program. Why don't you be a trainer? And I'm like, I don't know how to train people. And they're like, Christ, you work out 3 hours a day. We'll teach you how to train people. And so they did. I went through their training program and I started as the floor trainer at $15 an hour. And you know, I was the person that if you joined, you got 3 free workouts. So I would be take you through your workouts. And if you liked me, you could hire me. And within a month, I was booked solid 8 hours a day. And I knew I'd found my calling because I loved it.
Well, you know, and it's a lot of people that want to get interested in fitness or potentially fitness training. We see a lot of folks in the Fitfluential Ambassador community where they become very obsessed in a good way with feeling healthy and they want to be a trainer. They want to spread the love to other people. But I love hearing your story because you didn't think you were qualified. And so many of us do in many of our pursuits. We think, oh, I'm not good enough. I couldn't do that. I don't know this or I don't know that. And just, you know, for those of you listening, if you have that inkling, listen to Val. She started that way, found something she really loved. We talk about this a lot on the show, found something that really made her feel alive. And that transitioned into a very, very long and rewarding career. How did you then go from working in a gym, Val, to starting to train celebrity clients? That's a huge leap.
Well, you know, it started, You know, they talk about the 10,000 hours. We've all heard that. I put in that and more because I was one of those trainers that was just booked 8 to 10 hours a day. And so you get experience by working with people and you see what, you know, what works and what doesn't work and what they respond to. I continued my education, you know, and instill, like I'm doing another workshop this weekend. I love to learn and keep getting better at my profession, but people would see me working in the gym, particularly when I was working with women, and they would tell me, I notice how good you are with them. And so I started getting a lot of referrals. And then for a little while, I lived in New York and I worked for a trainer there. And when I moved back, he trusted me enough to send Cindy Crawford to me. And she wasn't my first client, but she was my first celebrity client. And we worked together for 15 years. And through working with Cindy, not only did I get the opportunity to see how well my programs work because she was so consistent, but then she also referred me to a lot of her modeling friends, to Richard Gere, who she was with at the time, who then took me on location. And then someone saw me in the gym. They referred Lauren Holly to me, who ended up on the cover of InStyle magazine 6 weeks after we started training. And then the word just kind of spread. And I became known for someone that could get an actor in shape in 5 weeks or less and have them sustain that result through the course of shooting, you know, a 9-month TV show or a 6-month movie. And, you know, then it kind of like, you know, went out on the wire, if you will. And I started getting calls from just about everybody and it was a blast. And it's been a blast. It's been an incredible ride. I love it. I feel fortunate. I feel blessed. And I've had so much fun and I've met an incredible amount of people. And along the way, you know, I just keep doing my thing and I do it not just with actors. I do it with all different kinds of people. But the beauty of having an actor is they are really like us in that they want to eat the cookies. They want to sleep in, but they're not like us in that their motivation is greater in that moment when they get a movie role and the director says, I need you to look, you know, X, Y, and Z in 6 weeks. And so there's a lot riding on it. And so then if I say don't eat the cookies, if I say eat, you know, 5 times a day, if I say you're going to do this amount of cardio and here's the strength workouts, they do it. And then they get the results. And it's just the same as, you know, when you get committed and you actually find the right program and you do the work, you do get results. All of us can change. It just kind of depends on what your level of commitment is.
Val, I love that you just brought up that point about, you know, number one, Valerie, for everybody that's listening, she trains both celebrities and she also trains, let's use air quotes, real people like me. She's been fantastic and I have all of her products and I'll rave about them later because they're insanely amazing. But one of the stereotypes, or maybe I'll call it myth understandings, that we hear a lot in the Fitfluential community, and Val, I'm sure you hear it as well, is, you know, your everyday consumer will look at a celebrity who has a personal trainer and they think that it's easy street. They think, oh, well, of course, celebrity A or celebrity B can look like that. They have a trainer that does, you know, make sure that they get that way. And I've always kind of called out, I don't even know, I just call that BS, because to me, I've seen enough reality shows where a celebrity did hire a trainer and then they just called off the session at the last minute. Ultimately, whether you have a trainer or whether you're on your own, maybe you bought a program at home or you're just working out at the gym on your own, you still have to do the work. You still have to eat right. You still have to do some of these things on your own. So my question to you there, Val, is do you see, I know you mentioned the motivation. You know, you've got folks that need to get ready for a movie, right? And then they've got to really get in shape. So that's a different motivation. But with the challenges that the women and men you train have, are they the same challenges that you see with everyday people like me and your, you know, the people that are in your clubs online?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we're all up against similar things. We have certain cravings. We want to be able to eat certain foods, maybe even foods that we could eat in our 20s and not have the same result that we have in our 30s, 40s, or 50s. We all are busy now, and there's times where you frankly just don't feel like doing it. And the difference between someone who gets results and someone who doesn't, actor or any other kind of person, is the person who's willing to do the work even when they don't feel like it. It is easy to go for a run on a Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning when the sun is shining. It is much more difficult to drag your butt to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's dark and cold and rainy. But if you want to have results, and if 5 a.m., is the only time you can do it based on your work-life schedule, then you either decide that you want it bad enough to get up in the dark and do it, or you'd be willing to say, you know what, I'm okay being a little fluffy. You know, you don't have to be so hardcore. It's up to you to decide how bad you want it, but to complain about it when so much of it is in your power, it's, you know, that's not empowering. So what I try to do is I guide people, all kinds of people, but I coach a lot of women online. And so I see this because they're working women. A lot of them are working moms on limited budgets. And I see how they do it. And we do a lot of figuring out the strategy. I say to them, strategy trumps willpower. So if they're coming home at 5 o'clock at night and stuffing Triscuits in their mouths because there's no food in the house and they're ordering, you know, pizza delivery or whatever, it's not about count out how many Triscuits you're going to eat or resist them. It's about the strategy of meal prep and having food on hand so that when you walk in that door 6 o'clock and you're tired and the dog needs to be walked and the kids are crying, that you can get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less because it's there and it's prepped. So we learn those things along the way. I teach them those things. I talk them through, you know, when are they going to do the workout? And we figure it out. We look at the schedule and we say, where can you put your workout where it's a non-negotiable? And maybe it's not going to be 5 or 6 days a week. Maybe it's going to be 4 30-minute sessions. Maybe 2 of those fall on the weekends, and then we find 1 early morning and then 1 day after work. And all of that can be worked out when the person is motivated enough. And so I think I feel really good that I'm good at teaching strategy in addition to writing really awesome workouts.
I just had a little bit of a technical interface there, so forgive me that I started my question with an. But Val, you said a couple of things. I actually took notes on several of the things that you just mentioned. You were mentioning when you talked about being fluffy, right? And that everybody, all of us, celebrity, regular person, we can choose how, I don't want to say how dedicated we are, but in other words, I'll use myself as an example versus Kevin, the co-host of my podcast here. I would call him somebody who's hardcore. He does everything to the nth degree. If he reads an article or does some research and it says that, you know, you should have 6 ounces of meat every day, I'm totally using a random example. he'll have 6 ounces of meat every day. For me, I'm like, I don't want to have 6 ounces of meat every day. I'll do that 2 days of the week. But I also accept that based on that, the results that I'm going to have are going to differ from Kevin. And I like that you brought that up because ultimately for everybody, it is a choice. And I think that a lot of what you seem to do very well, and I'm going to reinforce this, you said, I think I do a good job. You're really good at teaching people, your clients, myself included, how to make fitness, health, wellness, eating right, a lifestyle. You know, you don't tell people, you give so many lifestyle tips on how to get through so that you can still have wine with your friends. You know, you and I have met and had wine and cheese and had a good time. And I'm always asking you, how can you have wine? How can you have snacks? But it seems that you're very comfortable for yourself and for your clients with how to make this a lifestyle. Is that a challenge that you run into a lot with either a celebrity client or a regular client where they're looking at it more like a fast fix transformation versus making this a sustainable lifestyle?
Well, yes, everybody likes the fast fix. And sometimes I can do that, but then they have to be taught the lifestyle things because, look, food is to be enjoyed. And sometimes you want to miss your workout. And sometimes, you know, it's like your example with Kevin, I'm not as hardcore as that. But I do like to eat mostly clean because I don't want to carry around an extra 20 pounds. I may have an extra 5 pounds on me because I don't also choose to be so strict with my diet right now. There's some ebbs and flows. But mostly what happens is people tell me what they want, and then I give them the recipe of how to get there. So I'm not here to judge what size you want to be, how much weight you want to lose, how ripped you want to be. But if you tell me what you want, then I can tell you what it's going to take to get there. And then often what happens is you kind of go like in levels. Like you say, well, maybe I just want to lose like 5 or 10 pounds and I want to be healthier. But then you get there and it's like, oh, I'm kind of liking seeing my tricep pop out. Like, you know, I wonder if I kind of can go next level. Well, next level isn't doing more of the exact same. Next level is taking it up a notch. And maybe that means then, you know, that occasional glass of wine you don't have for 3 months. Or maybe it means you add in 30 minutes of extra cardio. Maybe for a short period of time, you have to do some two-a-days. Maybe you have to pull all the dairy out of your diet. You know, maybe we have to actually, I'm not a big calorie counter, but when you kind of hit one goal, but you want that last 5 pounds and the scale's not moving, we might have to look at how many calories you're taking in and what can we sneak out. It might come down to the, you know, maybe you can only have 4 ounces of salmon instead of 6. But in the beginning, I just want to get people to eat clean, get rid of the obvious junk, get rid of the sugar, exercise consistently, find workouts that work for their body type, something that they enjoy. But that whole notion, you know, just do what you love. Yeah, if you only love running, that's not going to ultimately be best for you in the long run. You need some mobility work. You need some stretching. Everybody needs strength training, whatever form of strength training that's going to look like. But you will often not like it at first because you may feel uncoordinated. You may not feel strong. But like anything else, the more you do, the better you get. So there's a learning curve, whether it's yoga or being in the weight room or taking a rowing class or whatever. So I don't let people wiggle away completely from that. I don't like this kind of exercise if that's going to serve them to getting the goal that they want.
You, I'm taking so many notes on the things that that I want to reiterate and pull out from what you've shared. And I think one of the things that you just mentioned, and I want those, you know, I mean, it's January 2017 when this is going to go live, and there's a lot of men and women that are just starting down a, hey, I want to lose weight, I want to get healthy. And I think a lot of them are going to be looking at some of these programs, or, you know, maybe it's something that they just want to do themselves and they want overnight results. We all want it in our brains, whether we admit it or not. But I think if what you're hearing from Valerie and everything that she's saying is she does a lot of tweaking with her clients, both on the workout, maybe increasing weights, changing the food, saying, hey, maybe 4 ounces of salmon is going to work for you versus six. I want to just have you guys really take that home and really think about it, because you've got to start dedicating, even if you want to start off the year with a 90-day program or a 12-week program or a six-week, whatever it is, just commit to the long term. And I know, Val, do you have a, I guess that's going to be one of my next questions. Do you have a hard time? You mentioned that you train some clients that are just getting ready for a role. And then you have clients like you mentioned working with Cindy Crawford for 15 years. I know you've worked with Jennifer Garner forever. You have clients that you work with when they're getting ready for a movie or not. Is it hard for you? Is it a lot harder for you with people that don't have a long-term commitment to being fit, where they go off the wagon and then they want to come back and really fix things and really go hardcore, and then they go off the wagon and then they come back? How damaging is that to be yo-yo and up and down versus, hey, this is my lifestyle and I want to work at it every week, every month, all year round?
Well, of course, I'd rather people have the healthy lifestyle, but a lot of people fall off. And, you know, we like to say in my Red Carpet Ready Platinum Club, you know, fall down 8, get up 9. And I would much rather them have them come back and want to restart than to be so discouraged that they just give up. I don't want anyone to feel bad. Like, if you fall down, let's just start again. Let's reboot. It's harder for them because they get frustrated. But sometimes life just throws you some curveballs and you just want to go have a burrito. And sometimes that burrito turns into a week of, you know, chips and salsa or whatever, you know, whatever your advice is. When I fall down, I fall down.
Not that we've ever done that.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is, to just know that at any point you can really restart again. And the idea is that you raise your standards. So if before your cheating was like junk food or fast food, now maybe your cheating is organic Mexican food, right? So it's still, you may be taking in too many calories, you may be eating a few too many carbs, but it's definitely better than the super processed food. So if each time, even if you kind of fall off and maybe you gain a couple pounds, you're not doing it with, you know, M&Ms, maybe you're doing it with dark chocolate covered raisins. So it's still not great, but along the way your standards are going up and up, and because you want to get to the point that clean eating becomes the default choice, that you actually prefer it. And you know, I didn't start that way. Like I had 10 years of Taco Bell and Top Ramen and Kraft macaroni and cheese. You know, I had to learn to eat better, and I had to learn how to cook, and then I had to learn how to cook not just pasta. I had to give that up. I had to learn to cook other things, and I'm still learning. It's not even like I'm a great cook, but I practice it more. So I'm definitely better. And now if I were to eat like pancakes or grilled cheese sandwiches or something like that, I wouldn't feel good. So I don't have the desire to do that like I used to. And so that's what I hope is, like, each time as I get people a little bit healthier, that even if they fall down, they don't fall as far. You know, they're sort of like, if you start sliding down that snowy mountain, learn how to throw the axe pick into the side of the mountain and stop it, right? And get right back on track. So if you just had a binge because, you know, you had your boss yelled at you, or you had a bad day at work or whatever, and you came home and just unleashed with whatever, the next day, the very next meal is a chance to get right back on and get right back in your workout, and use your workout as a place to let some of that go. And, you know, and then you just keep building from there.
You know, and that's what you always say. I know you've shared that mantra again and again, but it's so perfect. You always say you're one workout away from a good mood. And I put that up a lot when I'm feeling down and I go do some training, and I'll go up on Instagram and I'm like, yeah, I've never once said I really regret doing that workout. So it really does. And we know that there's endorphins involved. But, you know, one of the things that we're going to step into talking about food and food quality in a second, but you mentioned earlier when you were talking about working with your clients how, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but a lot of what you do, and you've done this with me, is you help your clients, which I think this is probably one of the most important things, plan ahead. You know, you talked about meal prep and that helps folks be ready when they get home, that they have easy food to make for themselves and their families. You're taking away the unexpected detours that maybe can set so many of us off course. And I think a lot of people don't really do that. They don't think ahead and their fitness can be more reactive. So I'm curious for you, what tends to be what in your experience, what have you observed is the biggest thing that trips people up? I think you've shared it's more on the food side. Is it snacking? Is it not eating enough? Is it eating too much? Or is it kind of all over the place as far as the common mistakes people make with food when they're getting started?
I mean, it's a little bit all over the place, but I would say the main thing is just they leave it to chance. So my whole thing is you can't leave your nutrition to chance. You can't assume that you're going to go out in your day and you're going to run a bunch of errands that right at the moment that you're hungry, that there's the perfect healthy option available. So you have to think about it. Like lunch is going to come around every day. So to not have any thought about what you're going to have for lunch or where you're going to get it or, you know, what time you're going to have it. It's like, it's shocking to me that there's no thought about it whatsoever. So I get people we got to think about breakfast. You got to think earlier in the day, especially if you leave the house and then you're out until dinner, you've got to take lunch with you, or you have to know your healthy options around you. And you have to look at those menus ahead of time, and you don't do it an hour past your hungry point. And then you truck off to find the restaurant and then get in line and then order. Then you miss your window and the damage is done, right? Like you end up eating too fast or wanting too many carbs because you let yourself get too hungry. So I just get them to think about it. Like when you're making dinner, prep the lunch for the next day. If you know you have a meeting at 1 and lunch is going to be a little late, then you got to have a morning snack at 11, right? Like I actually went through this process with a client this morning. You know, I trained him at 7. He was done at 8. I said, what time's breakfast? He's like, right now. And I was like, great. So that means you're going to eat before 8:30. If you're not going to have lunch until after 1, you've got to program in a snack at 11. You can't assume that it's okay to go from 8:30 to 1:30. Right? You've got to think about it ahead of time and bring a bar. Like, even though I don't let my clients rely on bars, they're good for emergencies if they're properly chosen. Or you have, you know, your almonds and raisins in a little baggie, or you have your apple with your Justin's peanut butter in a little packet. But you think about it. And so I train them just to say, do not leave your nutrition to chance. If you're going out to a restaurant with a group of friends that typically want to order all the bad stuff, look at the menu ahead of time so that you're not waiting to see what they order. You just already have it in your head. This is what I'm going to have, right? Like, so you have to take away some of the just things that trip you up. And you'll know, I mean, they've tripped you up in the past. Like the one thing that comes up in my coaching group a lot is the break room. What do we do about the break room? There's a cake there every day. And so we're working on that because you can't control other people, and you can't control what they're going to have on their desk, you know, the little thing of Starburst or the bowl of M&Ms or whatever. Like, people love to do that, but you can control maybe how many times you visit that desk or, you know, what you have on you. Like, maybe you've got to keep a little snack, or you've got to think about around 4 o'clock, knowing that they're, you know, celebrating somebody's birthday or whatever. What is your strategy in that moment? Are you going to have a cup of tea? Are you going to sit down and maybe have the little snack that you brought from home? Like, have a plan, because otherwise you're doomed.
So true. And, you know, you have worked with me on so many of these points. In fact, as you were talking in the beginning, I'm like, she is so talking about me, because listeners, you've heard me share this on several of my interviews. This, one of my number one problems is poor planning. I'll admit it. I'm working on it. I'm unconsciously stubborn about being poor with, and Kevin gives me crap about it all the time, getting my meals in. But I think one of the key points is, I'm sure everybody's picking up on how important it is to plan. But if you listen to Valerie, everything she was just saying, she was not talking about, hey, make sure, you know, do all these tips and tricks so you don't eat all day. And there's a big, it still is permeating the media, these ideas that if women or men want to get into shape or lose weight, that what you really need to do is eat as little as possible and train and work out and do a lot of cardio as much as possible. And there still is this mindset that permeates men and women of all ages. We hear it all the time. We get questions about this into Fitfluential all the time, thinking, should I go running 6 more days a week if I'm not losing weight? And I've already cut my calories back. I met a guy, he was doing 1,000 calories a day for a guy. And he was going to the gym, getting on the treadmill 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And so I wanted to point that out first to the listeners. But second, Val, I know you've dealt with me on that, thinking that I've got to eat less, and I've got to work out more. Is the overtraining combined with the thought that excessive cardio is how to lean out or lose weight, is that still a common myth that you see and you have to conquer with your clients?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, I'm in LA, so we're a little more fitness, you know. They still want to go to spinning a few too many times. I want to get them in the weight room. But really, if you're talking about pure weight loss, you really have to keep focusing on the food and looking at the quality of the food. It's not about always lowering the calories. It's often just about upgrading the quality and controlling the portions. Oftentimes, when people do excessive cardio, it makes them so hungry that then they just undo their diet by eating an extra sandwich or whatever. And it's like, my thought is curtail some of that high intensity cardio and dial in your food and then do smart, strong strength training workouts or full body circuits, maybe occasional spinning. Like, you know, I'm not like, people want to sweat. It feels good. There's a psychological aspect to it. There's a physiological aspect to it. And so I'm not opposed to it, but I don't want them to be in the mindset that they need 2 hours to work out, because you don't. People get results in 30 to 40 minutes done consistently when paired with a healthy diet, just as much as they do doing a full hour. So
That's something that I'm, you know, I had Mark Crabtree on the other day, and I know that you met him, and he was somebody I trained with in Chicago for a while. It was the number one thing he had to work with me on, was getting my mindset out of, and again, that's also one of my issues. I still internally, my internal system is still going, do 2 hours a day. And you were always telling me, Kelly, if I was doing your Red Carpet Ready or Action Hero Babe or Hot and Hurry, one of your workouts, which we're going to close and wrap up and tell you guys about those. I was always thinking I had to add more. And you're like, Kelly, these work, just do them. And they were intense, and I did get results. I just had to learn to be patient. One of the things I want to make sure we touch on before we head out, because I am getting close to our time here, but you mentioned food and quality of food and upgrading your food. And we talk a lot about that on Fitfluential Radio. And my gosh, I have learned so much. You know, Val, since I first got my blood work done about a little over a year ago, and learned that I had hypothyroidism and insulin resistance. And at the end of this year, I've been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. There's just been a lot that's gone into that. But you've given me so many pointers over the years. I remember when you first said to me, why are you ordering your Starbucks with soy milk? And I'm like, what's the big deal? And you're like, I would never do soy. And I rolled my eyes at you back then, and you know I did, but now I get it. And you've also pointed out to me several things, you know, when you were visiting in Chicago and you told me, you were the first person that pointed out, why are you having that, you know, Ezekiel toast with your organic eggs? And I'm like, because it's wheat-free. And you're like, Kelly, it's sprouted wheat grain bread. And I didn't even think about that. But you've always been an advocate of pure, clean, really high quality organic food and why it's important. At what point in your life did you start realizing that the quality versus a bunch of processed, you know, convenience meals was important, just as important, if not more important than anything else?
Well, I had the good fortune of meeting Dr. Barry Sears, you know, the author of The Zone, about 15 or more years ago. And just talking to him and about the science of food and was so illuminating. And then, you know, I just started playing with it. And I noticed how much better I felt when I ate more vegetables and good quality protein. And then, of course, now in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, like, there's just so much more information, and we have just more research available to us about the benefits of eating paleo or primal, or if you don't want to do that, at least if you're going to be a vegetarian, being a good vegetarian and not just eating a bunch of pasta, but actually eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables. And look, some people can eat grain. Not everyone has a sensitivity to it. But if you're insulin resistant, like you are, you know, the point that I wanted to make is one that's not right for you, right? And also, lots of people have different conditions that make losing weight slightly more challenging. But that doesn't mean that they can't do it. But you don't get to just stomp your feet and be like, but I want to have wheat bread, or I see the things that drives me crazy, like the diabetic magazines and stuff. You know, now you can have your sugar, and you know, if you take this pill or whatever. And I'm like, no, like, that's like saying if someone has a peanut allergy, they should be allowed to eat peanuts as long as they got an EpiPen or whatever. It's like, no, there are times that it's like we don't get to eat whatever we want. I mean, you can if you just want to not feel good, but it's like, we're not 12. Like, we're grown up and we can learn to change our tastes for food. Like, the more you eat clean food, the harder it is to eat junk. And we can learn to prepare things. And it's self-care means giving up some stuff. It's just like, it's like savings. You know, if you want to buy a house, you maybe have to stop like going out to dinner every night of the week or shopping all the time. Like, you make choices. And as a responsible adult, you get to decide how fit do you want to be and how much time do you want to put into it. And then you have to do the work. And here's the beautiful thing, because I know we have to wrap up. I want people to recognize that once they've kind of made it through that, you know, I'm giving up some of these fast food and I am going to get up early in the morning and work out, it doesn't take long for the body to respond, and you get used to these new habits and then you like it. So it's not drudgery anymore. It becomes your source of pleasure. And, you know, sometimes it is still hard. I don't always want to go to the gym, and I'm sure sometimes, like, you know, you don't feel like cooking or whatever, but you learn to work out harder and you learn to prepare better food, and then you start to like it. And so there is the other side. So while I say there's no such thing as maintenance, meaning you never really get to stop and you don't get to just go back to eating whatever you want, but it does become easier because that becomes your set point. That's your new standard. You have a standard that says, I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to prepare food more often than not. I'm going to carry water around with me, and I'm going to move my body 4 to 6 times a week.
It really, everything Valerie is saying is true, and I can tell you from my own personal experience. A lot of the changes that I really started making big changes in my nutrition when I got my blood work back. And I had extensive blood work done for hormones and to see where I was. And boy, when I got that blood work back, I was like, whoa, holy hell, we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm still working on it. It's a long road. But I can verify what Valerie is saying in that, as somebody like me who used to live on diet soda literally all day, I never drank water. I drank it all day. I came down here to Austin in September. I have not had one diet soda since I've been down here. And it gets easier. One of the things that I've shared with listeners, if you're doing that I love, I get soda water and I put apple cider vinegar in it, the Bragg's version, and That's my new soda, but I haven't had one soda. Do I still want sometimes mentally a Diet Mountain Dew? Yes, I wouldn't. That's just the truth. But it also has changed my taste for other things, like you said. So now what I do is when I have my indulgences, things that were packaged, a lot of them either, like you said, I'll eat them and they give me a stomach ache, or some of them give me an immediate headache. Some of them I can have, like I can have pizza, doesn't bother me on a cheat meal. I can have Olive Garden and that doesn't bother me. Other things from a sweet perspective really affect my body in a negative way. It's like a hangover. So for everybody listening, just know, obviously she knows what she's talking about. And I guess that's a perfect segue to how I want to wrap up this first time. We're definitely going to have Valerie back on the show, and we're going to be hosting a Twitter chat with her coming up here very soon. That'll be posted on FitFluential. But Valerie, I've shared that I have done so many of your workouts, and I want before we close up and you tell folks where they can find you, where they can buy your products and your workouts, I just want to give my own major endorsement of Valerie's programs. First of all, if you go back in my social media for the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, I've been taking Valerie's Val slides and Val bands and all of her equipment with me when I travel. I have them at home. They're some of the best. They're just my staples for any kind of workout. Her workouts will sculpt your body. They will change you, and they are intense, but they're also not going to require you to work out, you know, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. In fact, as I shared, you know, I found myself going, shouldn't I be doing another hour and 15 minutes? No, they are amazing. I could tell you emphatically, they're the best on the market. You have to do all you can to either get one of them or all of them, or hire Val, get in one of her private groups. You'll never regret it. That said, Val, where can our listeners find you and find your products and what you have to offer?
So you can find me at my website, valeriewaters.com. The products are at valslide.com. And then I would say, follow me on Instagram, again, at Valerie Waters, because that's where I'll make any kind of announcements or what have you. If you go to valeriewaters.com, you can get on my email list. I try to send out motivation on a regular basis, and my tips and strategies that I use with my celebrity clients. And so just come on, get in on the conversation. And if I can help you, then send me a private message. But I love what I'm doing. I do believe we change our lives through changing our bodies. And it starts with fitness.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Val. You know I love you. I know how talented you are. I want everybody that's listening, take my word for it. Check her out. Definitely dive into these programs and her accessories. You'll change your body, and she really, truly does care. When you start to get involved with her, she's not like a one-size-fits-all. She cares about her clients. So thank you so much for being on the show, Val. For everybody that's listening, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you find the show notes over at FitFluential Radio, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.